Blog Talk Radio.
For so long I was silent. For so long I did not have a song of praise. Depression filled my days, and clouds blocked my way. But there was a voice speaking to me, awaking the passion so quiet in me, in me. So still in me. Give up, no. I choose to worship right now. My mind is made up. Is that your voice calling me into that secret place with thee? My heart is long for longing with thee. I choose to worship.
Do I have anybody in here tonight that chooses to worship? I know sometimes it gets bad. I just can't lay here and give up. I need everybody in here to help me do it right now. Come on.
He's healing me.
He's healing me. I'm going to worship.
Come on. I need you to lift yourself up out of that mess that you're in right now. Come on. Some of you have been down so long. Come on. Make up your mind right now. I can't lay here and die. I got to seek after him. I hear his voice calling me right now.
He's healing me.
I'm coming to you broken tonight. I'm coming to you wounded tonight. I'm coming to you right now. I need your presence in my life.
I'm gonna worship. Yes, I am. He's healing me.
Heal me. I'm gonna worship.
Oh, he's healing me. Yes, he is.
Heal me. I'm gonna worship.
I'm gonna worship you.
Tonight, come on, come on, it's got a made up mind. Come on, to bless the Lord at all times.
I'm gonna worship.
Ooh, yeah. Mm.
My heart is long for small moments with thee.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. We just bless the Lord. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We're having a few complications today, but nevertheless, we're still going to bless the Lord. We're asking God to open up these airways where we can open up this switchboard. We're excited about what God is doing. Amen. We're going to give God the glory, and we're just praying that everything is going to work out good. Amen. It's up. It's up. It's up. Amen. Amen. You were listening to Wes Morgan. I choose to worship. How many choose to worship God today? Amen. I choose to worship him, even though I'm having a few little issues right now, but God is working it out. Amen. He's working it out. Amen. We're just so happy for you all tuning in with us today. Amen. To New Destiny Ministries, a time of reflection, where, again, we're here and we are empowering souls for destiny. Every day you have an opportunity to call in, to listen live on the internet, to go into our chat room and fellowship with us. We are being empowered. Anytime you hear the word of God, you are empowered. You're empowered to receive it, or you're empowered to reject it. Amen. I'm so glad that one day, about 30 years ago, I was empowered to receive this word. Amen. And I thank God for this month is our celebratory month, where we are celebrating 3 years on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Over 76,000 listeners have tuned in via internet, phone line, chat room, and even going back on the archives. I don't know about you, but I'm celebrating. Amen. I'm celebrating. I'm excited about what God is doing. Amen. And we're on the road, and we're on the side of the road right now. Guess what? Because we have an assignment. Amen. And God has graced us to go and fellowship in this prophetic prayer conference. And we're going to get that announcement out the way, because buckle up your seatbelts. We're in for a treat today. Amen. So we want you to stay in prayer for Pastor Gloria Smith and Sons and Daughters of the Promise that is hosting this prophetic prayer retreat. You know, that was a desire of mine before the year was out. I wanted to be in a place where I can shut in and consecrate myself. And God answered my prayer by the way of this prophetic retreat, which will be held starting tonight, December the 5th, and tomorrow and on Sunday. Amen. So we're excited about that. It's going to be held in Past Christian, Mississippi. Those of you that's on the social media, go to Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and you'll see that flyer. So pray for the woman of God. Amen. We're excited about what God is doing. We're going to go on with our segment today. Amen. Once again, this is our third year celebration this week, and along with last week, God gave us a subject matter, and that subject was, "All ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord." And I tell you, just to recap a little bit, we have been having a wonderful time hearing from the men of God this week. Amen. On Tuesday, Elder William Caldwell, amen, spoke so eloquently. And then Wednesday, we went a little bit higher with Bishop Jesse Grant, all the way from Chicago, Illinois. And on yesterday, we had Dr. Winston Singleton, and he's been with us from the inception of this broadcast. And he took us a little bit higher. And today, we're just so honored to have Pastor Dwayne Morris with us. Amen. So we are excited about what God is doing. But today we also have with us today a special guest. Amen. And that's none other than Pastor Dion Weaver. Amen. From Atlanta, Georgia. Amen. And we're going to let him open up with us, open up for us today with the word of prayer. And then we're going to read a short bio. Amen. This man of God is not no stranger, our speaker. But right after we open up with the word of prayer, we'll come right back and read our speaker for the evening bio. Amen. God bless.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. It's a blessing to be in the house of God one more time, as they say. We give God praise, glory, and honor. Again, I am Pastor Dion Weaver, and I will bring forth our word of prayer before the man of God comes before us and bring the bread of life. Let us bow before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we glorify your name and we honor you today for who you are, O God. O Father God, you said and you promised that where two or more gathered together in the midst, O God, together, that you would be in the midst of us, O God. Father God, we thank you that you honor your word, God. We thank you that you hasten over your word to perform it, God. Oh, God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you will cause the airwaves, Lord God, to begin, oh, God, to begin to be conducive, Father God, for the authenticity of your spirit, God. We ask that you will open up the heavens, oh, God, and pour down blessings that we have not room enough to receive, God. We're asking that you will just begin to touch right now in the name of Jesus, that, Father God, that you will take authority over the prince and the powers of the air, oh, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We're asking, Lord God, that there will be no distractions, no delay, no deny, in the name of Jesus. We give you the praise, God, for your name is above all names, God. We honor you today, oh God. There is none like you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We're asking, Lord God, that you will touch this broadcast in a special way on today, God. We're asking that you will move by your spirit, oh God, not by might nor by power, but by your spirit alone. It's self-sufficient. You are God all by yourself. You don't need nobody's help, God. But we come to lift you up and glorify you, God, because if it had not been for you, where would we be, Father God? In the name of Jesus, we honor you, God. We reverence you, oh God. We ask that your angels, Father God, will be on assignment on this tonight, on today, God, that, Father God, that the atmosphere will be shifted and conducive for the flowing of your spirit, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, for your angels cry, holy, holy, holy is our God, and Father God, we ask that you will touch the man of God, that shall bring forth the bread of life, God. God, we ask that you would anoint him with a fresh anointing, God. God, we ask that he will speak only what you say, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, let him walk in holy, God, as he declares the things that you have given him to say, oh God, as he declares the things that you have given him to release, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we bless your holy name, God. There is none like you, Father God. We honor you for your goodness and your mercy, because if it had not been for you, God, we would not have made it this far, God, and so we tell you thank you, God. We bless your holy name, oh God, in Jesus' name, we give you the honor, oh God. We bless you, Father, and it is so, Father, and no otherwise. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Hey, glory. Hallelujah. God is doing something. Ah, glory
yes.
to God. God is doing something. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless you today, God. Ah, glory to God. Hallelujah. We're just so blessed. We're just so thankful. We don't know how blessed we are to be in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. I love you today, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor Dwayne, many of you all know Lady Morris, amen. She's a regular on our line. She frequents our line, amen, and pray for us, amen, and encourage us, amen. And I tell you, I have known this beautiful couple just about all my same life, just about there, Messiah. Hallelujah, and they're genuine people that love the Lord. Amen. They're genuine in their love for God. They're genuine in their love for the saints of God. And they're genuine, amen, in their love for ministry. Amen, amen, amen. And you have to have a love. You have to have a love for God and a love for his people to impact anyone. Amen. People know when you're phony. Ah, glory to God. But I tell you, this man of God, Pastor, I'm on the road and I wasn't able to pull up that vial in the in my inbox. Amen. So that's all right. Nevertheless, he can give you a little highlight. I know one thing. He's a man of God. He pastors in Birmingham, Alabama, the Greater Works Church there in Alabama, in Birmingham, Alabama. Amen. He is married to Lady Rosalind Morris. Amen. They are the parents of four beautiful, is it three beautiful daughters. Amen, amen. And this young man was raised in holiness just about, amen, and set up under the great, the honorable late Bishop Philip Coleman from Greater Bethlehem Temple Church there in Jackson, Mississippi. Amen, amen. And they're not that far apart now. Amen. Man, matter of fact, Lady Rosalind is one of Bishop Coleman's nieces. Amen. So we just love this awesome couple and this pastor and this father and this shepherd, amen, that is leading God's flock. Amen. So this is his first time on our line, amen. So, Pastor, we want you to know you have no need of being nervous. You are with the saints of the Most High God. Ah, glory to God. Amen. And however the Lord used you today, guess what? We are ready to receive. We are ready to eat from the master's table. So God bless you. We love you with the love of God.
Amen. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Wait a minute, Pastor Dwayne. Just a minute. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, Lord. He's pulling it on. I'm pulling it off. But that's all right. We're going to let you go forth. Amen. I wasn't able to see that bio, so forgive me. I'm in route, yep, like I said, on my way to the prayer retreat. But forgive me, Pastor Dwayne. We'll make that good one day.
Oh, you did an outstanding job of what you said. God bless you. We give honor to the Lord on today. We thank God for Evangelist Bernard, a woman that is definitely a woman of God. We've known each other for many years. And as I was thinking, I think we met in Birmingham, actually, at a national convention.
And ever
since then, we have been friends as well as sisters and brothers in the Lord. And we thank God for the work that she's doing there in Louisiana. And before even coming to Louisiana, she had a work going on in California. So we thank God for what she's done. And she has the people of God at heart, and she is an innovative woman of God. Thank God for that. She's not afraid to step beyond tradition and to step out and to do what God called and ordained her to do. So we thank God for that. And we thank God for the opportunity to be able to minister over this medium. As she said, this is my first time on Blog Talk Radio. So I thank God for the opportunity that he's given me through Evangelist Bernard. And as she forestated, I grew up originally from Los Angeles, California, but I grew up in Mississippi under the late great Bishop Philip Coleman Sr. Grew up there, got saved in 1982 at the age of 14. Didn't have a desire to be saved before then. Actually, my testimony is that I was not going to get saved until the age of 40. Because I wanted to go out and do my own thing. But God had other plans for me. And I thank God for that, because as the scripture says, the day you hear my voice, to harden not your heart. And when I heard the voice of God, I gave over to the will of God and have not had any regrets since that day. So I thank God for filling me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And not only that, but placing me in a place where I was able to be nurtured in the Word of God and to grow in ministry as well. I've been ministering, preaching for over 20 years and been pastoring for 5 years. This is my fifth year here in Birmingham, Alabama. We moved from Mississippi 5 years ago to start the work here. And I can relate to Abraham. God put in my spirit to go to a place where I didn't know anybody, didn't know any people here, had no relatives, no connections, nothing. And I came out here, started some work, and brought my business from Mississippi here. And I've had no regrets since moving here because I know that I'm where God wants me to be, doing what God wants me to do. So I thank God for the opportunity to share the word and to minister. My objective in ministry and in pastoring is to empower, encourage, and enlighten God's people through the word of God. And that's what we want to, that's our objective for today, is to speak an empowering, encouraging, and enlightening word to you. And as Evangelist Bernard has stated earlier, the theme is dealing with the shepherds. And we pray that something will be said today to help perfect us as we move closer to what God has called us to be. And I want to draw our subject today, or our thought today, from Ephesians 4, verse 9 through 15. And also we want to go to later on to 2 Timothy 4th chapter, verse 2 through 4. And Ephesians 4, and I'd recommend to, if you would, to read the whole chapter, this whole chapter of Ephesians 4. It will open your understanding even more in regards to what we're talking about. But we want to extrapolate our thought right now from the 9th verse beginning, and I'll read it. It says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I want to talk a minute about how God has called us in this position as pastors. He said he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the church. And if you go on down to verse number 14, it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight or deceit or cunningness of men, craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ. So God has an objective. He has an objective with his body or with the body of Christ, or the king, us, we that are in the kingdom of God. His objective is for us to grow into maturity to the place to where, as we're not, as it said, not tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine, but he wants us to grow to the place where we become in the likeness and the image of Jesus Christ. And the only way that we can do that, as the scripture says, we have to be perfected. And that is our job as pastors, is to help perfect the body of Christ as God leads us. And as God leads us, that means that we have to be led by the Spirit of God to be able to speak and to minister those things that's going to help perfect the body of Christ. As it also says in that scripture, that we're living in a time where there's a lot of deceit and craftiness going on. But the only way that you're going to be able to determine whether it's deceit or craftiness is that you have allowed someone to help perfect you to be able to be what God wants you to be, so that you can see actually what's going on. As I began to meditate on this scripture, I began to look, and as I began to look, I looked in the Spirit, and I could see how that we as the body of Christ, when we're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, evident through speaking in tongues, after you've been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission or removal of sins, we're not saved at that point. We're just entered into the kingdom, but as my pastor used to say, we're saved to be saved. You're only saved if you keep in remembrance. You're only saved if you practice what the Word of God says. You're only saved if you allow your mind to be transformed by the renewing of through the renewing of the Word. So what we have to do is, once we're saved, we have to be in a place where we're hearing a Word that is perfecting us. And once you're saved, a lot of in the age we're living, I've seen so many people that I've labeled them as renegades. They have been filled with the Holy Ghost. They've had that experience. they have received the baptism. They've received that experience, but they go to no one's church. And salvation is not a do-it-yourself. It's not like a do-it-yourself project where you can do it yourself. You need somebody to help you to become and to get where God wants you to be. There are some things that God won't reveal to you that he'll reveal to the man or woman of God to help perfect you. And I've heard as many times when I was growing up, and I would hear people say, well, if God wanted me to know it, he would tell me himself. And if God wanted me to know it, he'd show me himself. He wouldn't tell you to tell me. And I heard that, and it didn't agree in my spirit. I didn't know why, but it didn't agree with me in my spirit. And as I began to go into the Word of God, I looked in Acts chapter 9, verse number 3, and it talks about Paul, how that Paul was on the road of Damascus. And as he was on the road of Damascus, a bright light came and knocked he and the ones that were with him off their horses, and they fell to the ground. And they began to cry out because they didn't know what was actually going on. And as they began to cry out, they heard a loud voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And it was Jesus. And Jesus began to speak to him, and they had a dialogue. And in that dialogue, Jesus told him, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And as I began to look at that, now Paul is talking to Jesus, the one that died, the one that rose again, but Jesus would not tell him what to do. He sent him into the city so that a man could tell him what to do or what it would take for him to be saved. So what we have to recognize, there are some things God can tell you, but he's not going to tell or reveal to you because he has a protocol within his kingdom. He wants us to recognize that there are some things you can't fast and get the answer from God for yourself. There are some things you can't pray, read, and meditate and get deliverance. There's coming a time when you're going to have to call on somebody to help perfect you, to get you to where God wants you to be. And in the age that we're living, a lot of times people, we have the convenience of hearing the word over the internet. We have the convenience of turning the TV on and hearing the word. But there's a difference when you're sitting under a pastor, when you're in a position where you can hear the word, and not just hear the word, but it's important also that the pastor gets to know the people that he's pastoring. That's why it's so important for us to fellowship with the brethren and not just come to church and hear the word, but get to know one another. So when you're going through, I can feel your pain. The Bible says even in the scripture how that we're supposed to weep with those that weep, mourn with those that mourn, and rejoice with those that rejoice. And there's no way that you can do those things when you have not been in the environment to get to know who's pastoring and who's shepherding you. Wish somebody would shout hallelujah. So what we have to recognize is that there are some things that we've got to do. We've got to get in a position to where as we can recognize that the man of God, the pastor, the shepherd, is the one that perfects us. And as he's perfecting us, it's not actually him, but it's God using the shepherd. And as the shepherd perfects us, we have to be able to understand that this is God's tool that he has put in the church to help perfect us. As a shepherd, we just can't there are a lot of reasons people go to become pastors or want to become pastors or want to become leaders. Some people in the African-American community, it used to be where the preacher was a prominent position. He was the one driving the Cadillac, dressing good and smelling and looking good. But that's not what pastoring is about. When we look at shepherds, shepherds were dirty because they would be out tending to the sheep. Shepherd was a low position because he was out there in the field. He didn't get a chance to take baths the way everybody else took. It was a position where he had to fight off the beast. He had to fight off the animals that were trying to get to the sheep. And it's the same in the spirit realm. As a shepherd, it's not a glorious position because you got to pray for people that don't even love you and like you sometimes. Sometimes you've got to go and pray and be there to assist people that you know have violated what the instructions that God gave you to give them. Sometimes you have to be there for people that when you're preaching the word and you can see they're rejecting the word, but when they get in the position and they need you, you got to be there to go and help and assist them. That's what it takes to be a shepherd. And being a shepherd means that you got to sacrifice your will to the will of God. Because sometimes You may not feel like doing for those that you know are despitefully using you, but because you are the shepherd and you have the heart of the shepherd, your heart is to do what God wants you to do. And then doing what God wants you to do, it overrides what you want to do. Being a shepherd, that means that we have to be in tune with God. We have to pursue the mind of God on a daily basis. We have to be able to pursue God when we want to eat sometime. We've got to push the plate aside because we're in pursuit of God. When we are in pursuit of God, that means that we're in pursuit of the heart or the mind of God. And when you're in pursuit of the heart or mind of God, not only are you in pursuit of that, but you have to be in tune with the voice of God. And sometimes when you're in pursuit of the voice and the ear of God, you got to deny yourself. You got to push some things aside. I don't know if some of you on here remember how that when we used to have the televisions where when you change the channel, you used to have to change it and you'd see the white come. And sometimes while you see the picture, there's a little white, but you have to put that antenna on. And sometimes we had antennas that we made from the hangers. You push it in the back and you have to turn it a certain way and flip it over a certain way to get in tune. And that's the way we have to do with God sometimes. We have to lay some things aside to get in tune with God. Sometimes you can be in tune today, but what it took to get in tune today, you have to make adjustments for tomorrow to get in tune with God. There are even when you're trying to get in tune with God to fine tune, to hear what the voice of God is saying to you, there are some TV shows that you can't watch. There are some radio stations you can't listen to. There are some places you can't go. There are some conversations you got to walk away from because you're trying to get in tune with God. And when we are working to get in tune with God, we have to recognize that when you're trying to get in tune with God, the enemy is trying to get you in his tune as well. As I began to look, and I looked at Peter, how that Peter, Jesus asked the disciples, he asked them, whom do men say that I am? And as he asked them who, Peter got the revelation from God. God revealed to him that Jesus was the rock, and Jesus let Peter know that you didn't get this revelation just based on how smart you were, but you got this revelation because God revealed it to you. But when you go on in Matthew 16 and 23 in the same chapter, Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, because Peter was telling him that you're not supposed to die. In other words, Peter was telling Jesus that he wasn't going to fulfill the will of God. So we have to understand one moment you can minister in revelation, then the next moment, if you're not in tune with God, you can minister in frustration. So it's important for us to recognize as the ministers and the pastors of God, apostles and evangelists, that we have to stay in tune with God because you never know when God wants to use you. It may be somebody sick, and because you're out of tune, God can't use you to be the vessel that he uses to heal them. It may be somebody that's about to commit suicide, and because you're not in tune with God, you're not able to hear and see in the spirit that they're going through depression, they're going through oppression, and you're not able to give them a word because you're not in tune. It's important for us to recognize being in tune is not just getting in tune to preach a message. It's not just getting in tune to sing a song or getting in tune fasting because I have this great meeting coming up. But we have to be in tune every day because sometimes you're not going to just minister to the people that are in your church. Sometimes God wants you to minister to the person on the street. Sometimes he wants you to minister to the person that you come across the line in Walmart, but you've got to be in tune to hear what the Spirit is saying to you. So it's important that we as the people of God, whatever sacrifices we have to make sacrifices on a daily basis. As Evangelist Adrian does this broadcast, I'm sure it's a sacrifice some days, but because this is what God placed in our heart, she's willing to make the sacrifice. And when you have the heart of a pastor, whatever sacrifice you have to make for the will of God to take place or be manifested within your life, you got to have that drive to make that sacrifice. As Peter began to speak, Jesus rebuked him. And sometimes you got to rebuke your own flesh. You got to rebuke your own mind when it goes against the will of God. Because if you don't rebuke it, then it will rise up and take control, and you'll be ruled by your emotions. You'll be ruled by what you feel or what you think rather than what the Spirit is revealing to you. As I began to look, pastoring is a challenge. It's a very, very challenging position. It's not like being a doctor. It's not like being a lawyer. It's not like being any of those things, because you're dealing with the souls of men. And we have to be led by the Spirit of God, how we lead and guide. I've seen sometimes where pastors have a conviction and they believe something, and as years go by, their conviction or what they believe begins to change. And there are some people that hold to what the pastor, the old revelation that the pastor had, and they can't let go of it because that's what he taught. And then there are those that believe the new revelation, and they can't receive the old revelation. So you have conflict within the body. So therefore, in saying that, I'm saying that we have to be very careful as pastors to be led by the Spirit, because God is not a wishy-washy God. God, when God gives a revelation, sometimes that revelation will stand through the test of time. And we as the people of God, the pastors of God, we can't be moved all the time by traditions. We can't be moved all the time by what we think or feel or what other people say. And we got to stand to get a word from God. And when you get a word from God, you got to know that you got that word and that leading from God. And when you get it from God, stand on what God has shown you. Stand on what God has revealed to you. Because when you stand on what God reveals to you and what God shows you in the Spirit, then it doesn't matter what other people say or what they think, because God's word is going to stand all by itself. So it's important that we, as the pastors of God, get in the face of God to seek God. As I forestated, being a pastor is a challenging position, and there are several challenges as I began to look and meditate on what to say today. There's a challenge of competition. There's competition among the ministers. Everybody is seeking to become a mega pastor, a big-time pastor, or certain levels of success, rather than looking at how you're impacting the lives of people. And what happens is we try and we idolize pastors that we feel to be successful rather than seeking to do the will that God has assigned to us. I can't do what Evangelist Bernard do. I can't do what the pastor across town do. I can't do what somebody across the country do all the time. What I have to do is seek God's will for the people that I lead, seek God's will for the life that I'm living. And when you begin to seek God, that's when you begin to find happiness and be more successful at what you do. Success is not about the numbers, but I've learned that success is about the lives that God has impacted and God changes through the word that he placed on the inside of you. And what we as the pastors of God, the shepherds of God, we have to seek the will, seek the faith, seek the revelation of God on a daily basis. There isn't a day that go by that we should not be seeking God. What are you saying to me to say to your people? God, how do you want me to lead your people? And as we seek God, we'll move away from being competitive with one another and begin to seek to do the will that God has assigned us to do. That's one of the dangers of social media and one of the dangers of seeing things. Sometimes people portray images in the media, on the magazines, and it's not actually what it is when you get there. And what we have to recognize is that we, as the people of God, we're not supposed to be seeking those type things. We're supposed to be seeking the kingdom of God first and all his righteousness. Then whatever else that God wants to add to us, he will add to us. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 11:14. One of the challenges, as I said, many times we are looking at other people and what they have accomplished as pastors. But God wants us to be like the horse that has the blinders on it. We can't see what's happening on the side, but our eyes are focused on him. 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." We got to recognize that we are living in the last days, the last of the last days. And in living in the last of the last days, everything that seems to be God is not God. Sometimes people think success is a sign that God is with you, but that's not a sign that God is with you. The thing we have to recognize is that we've got to know God is with us because we are doing the will of God. And we have to recognize we have to be led by the Spirit. And as we're led by the Spirit, we won't be deceived by the enemy. And being not being deceived by the enemy means that we've got to be in a position with God, because as the scripture said, that the devil has transformed himself, and not just himself, but he's transformed his ministers of darkness into ministers of light. And I said all that to say this: so often we are looking at what other people are doing, but you don't know, sometimes you're patterning your ministry, patterning your ministry style and all these things after the ministers that the devil has assigned. When God's ministers are ministers that walk in power, they walk in authority, they walk in the word of God. It's not about style, and it's not about how you do things to get the response of the people. But when you are led by God, you are commissioned to say what God places in your spirit rather than trying to impress the people. And in trying to do what God says to do and being obedient to God, sometimes it may cause you not to be popular. Sometimes it may cause you not to be a minister that the people just call for. But the thing I've learned, when you say what God says, there's somebody in the audience, there's somebody that's listening that God has assigned that word to. And when that word gets within their spirit, as the apostle said, one planteth, one watereth, but God gives the increase. And so often we have to be careful as the ministers of God not to be concerned about the increase, but focus on the watering and the planting. And if we do that, then God is responsible for whatever else happens. But a lot of times, as I said, as that scripture says, the enemy has transformed his ministers of darkness into angels of light. And if you're not careful, you will be following and patterning after somebody that is not even of God. Many times, a lot of the preachers that the Bible says, or even anything pertaining to the Word of God, most messages that we hear in our day and age are just motivational messages. But as I said earlier, the scripture says that God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, all for the perfecting of the body of Christ. And in perfecting means you got to go through a process, a transformation. You got to go through a metamorphosis to become what God wants you to be. And when you go through the metamorphosis, you're going to hear some things that you don't want to hear. The pastor's going to show you some things that you don't want to see about you. And when you begin to see these things, the God on the inside of you should cause you to want to align yourself to become what God wants you to be. But many times in the society that we live, because the enemy has placed his ministers in prominent positions, we look at them and see, as I told you, the success that they're having financially and numerically, and the people's lives are not being changed. Lives are not being changed. People are still doing the same thing. People are still going the same places. And most of all, most of the people that sits under the motivational message, they have no transformation because they're not hearing a word of transformation. And I know a lot of times people say, when you're on TV, you can't preach about the name of Jesus and you can't bring Jesus. But I'm here to tell you, I know that is not true in most instances. If you're on TVN, that may be on that. But if you're buying your own broadcast, you can talk about whatever you want to. Even at the end of the broadcast and before the broadcast, you'll see where the television stations will begin to say how that this is not the view of the station, or this is not the view of this company. That's because they put that disclaimer there to let you know that they're not responsible for what the preacher preaches or teaches. So we've got to recognize the Word of God is supposed to transform those that hear the Word of God. And if we're not preaching a word that's causing people's lives to be transformed, the only thing we're doing is preaching a motivational message. And a motivational message only motivates you for that moment. But when you preach a word of transformation, you're going to preach about sin. You're going to preach about things that people are in and that God's trying to pull them out. And we've been conditioned, as I told you earlier, we have to be careful of the ministries that we listen to because they influence us emotionally. We began to see the numerical success. We began to see how that people are saying they're blessed by what they hear. But being blessed by what you hear and no transformation is not progress. We have to understand that you can be motivated, but if you've not been born again, ultimately the motivation does you no good. You have to understand that when we preach the gospel, we should be seeking to those that have not been born again. We can't preach the same way to them that we preach to those that have been born again. When we preach the gospel, we got to preach it and let God do the work. Let God be responsible. And when God's responsible, God is the one that gives the increase once the word goes out. As I began to look in the scripture and contrast what's happening today, most messages are just motivational messages. Even in our churches, it's to motivate you to feel good. But when I began to look at Jesus, Jesus wasn't no... We look at him, and as I look, we look at Jesus and we read the Bible through the eyes of dramatic irony. And what I mean by that is we already know who's who. We already know the end from the beginning. But sometimes when you read the word, you got to get in on their level. And what I mean by that, Jesus was not no Joel Osteen type of preaching. Jesus preached the word, and Jesus had some hard sayings. He preached the word, and his word offended those that did not want to align with what Jesus said. Jesus preached, and one of the things he preached, he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. That was a hard saying to them because they could not see in the spirit what he was saying. And when he preached that, many of those that followed him began to leave simply because that was a hard saying. And Jesus said, no man comes to me except, no man comes to the Father except by me. That was a hard saying, and many turned away because of that hard saying. Sometimes when you preach the word of God, it's going to cut. The Bible even tells us that the word of God is quick, it's sharp, it'll cut. But the time that we're living, people are so offended until it causes the preacher not to do his job. Well, all I'm trying to tell you is that we've got to do what God has called us to do for the people of God to be perfected. As the old people used to say, you got to preach the word and let the chips fall where they may. And if you don't do what God has called you to do, then what use are we as the ministers, the pastors of God, if we don't do and function in the calling that God has called us to preach in? Give me just a minute here. So we got to do what God has called us to do. And doing what God calls us to do is not, it's an easy job, but then again, it's not an easy job because you've got so many factors that you're warring against. 1 John 2:19, let me go there. One thing I've learned is just because somebody has been filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, you got to stay in the faith, contend for the faith, just continue to be in the faith. And sometimes we think that just because someone has had that experience, they are still with us. But when you begin to preach something totally different, Word of God says, then you're no longer one of us. 1 John, let me go there quick. 1 John 2:19, it says, they left us, but they were never really with us. If they had been, they would have stuck it out with us, loyal to the end. In leaving, they showed their true colors, showed they never did belong. I'm bringing that out because I want to bring this instance. It's one of the challenges that we face as pastors that I've seen since I've been pastoring is even when it comes to baptism. I'm only using this for an example. There are people now that preach that have had the apostolic experience, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. I've heard them say that baptism is not necessary for salvation. They say that it's not necessary. You can do it or you don't have to do it. And that contradicts what the Word of God says. Jesus said it himself, except the man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom. So we have to recognize that when people began to preach those type things, if you've patterned your ministry after them, if you've tried to be them rather than who God has called you to be, you're going to come to a fork in the road where you're going to have to decide, I'm going to believe this personality or I'm going to believe what the Word of God says. And I don't know about you today, but I have come to the place where I have to believe what God's Word says. We're living in a time, one of the challenges is that ministers and preachers and pastors are afraid to speak what the Word of God says. They'll tell you what they believe politically, they'll tell you what they believe socially. But when you begin to bring up social issues that are coming, that are in contradictory with the Word of God, they become mute and can't say anything. We're living in a time where we are going to be challenged as pastors where you're going to have to stand up for what you believe, or you're going to have to bow to Nebuchadnezzar and do what the Pharaoh is telling you to do, or the king is telling you to do. So as pastors, the job that we have is transitioning into a position where you're going to have to take a bold stand to believe what God says, or to either pander or tone it down. And I don't mean you have to be dogmatic in what you do, but you're going to have to tone down and not preach anything. But we have to understand that when you preach the gospel, when you preach the gospel, the good news, and not just the good news, but when you teach the word of God, there's a level of power that is released when you have committed and got in tune with heaven. When we began to look, I began to look at, I hear a lot of young people, they get offended when preachers preach and preach against certain things, and I began to look in the word of God, and people have been saying that preachers shouldn't preach hard preaching and preach against this and preach against that. But I began to look in the word of God, and I began to look at Deacon Stephen. Stephen preached the word of God so hard. Can you imagine? These people got so mad at him for preaching the word of God, they began to bite him. And you know, that's low down when somebody bites you to kill you. He preached the word of God so hard until the demons came out of the people and they began to bite him. But the thing that I took note of, when you preach the word of God right, you may lose your life. You may get ostracized. You may be pushed aside. But some of the greatest things happen out of those type of preaching, when you preach under the influence of the Holy Ghost, no matter how hard and no matter how it cuts and hurts people. When I began to look a little closer, one of the greatest apostles came out of that incident. Paul came out of that incident with Stephen, because Stephen did what God put in his spirit to do. And not only that, but when Stephen was dying, heaven opened up and he saw God, saw Jesus on the right hand. So we have to understand, when we do what God wants us to do, you got to do it and let the chips fall where they may. But it's going to take boldness, and it's going to take being in tune with heaven. And when you're in tune with heaven, some things are going to come out that you didn't know was going to come out, because the Holy Ghost began to speak for you. And when the Holy Ghost began to speak, all you have to do is say, Lord, whatever you're saying, say it through me. There's a song that we often sing, a lot of us sing, and it's from Paul Morton. It says, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. It sounds good. I love the song, but, you know, that is saying a whole lot, because sometimes it's going to cost you when God begins to do some things within your life. You may lose some friends. You may lose some associations. But in the end, if you do what God has called you to do, then God is responsible for the increase within your life. But you've got to have the boldness to do what God has called you to do. As I began to look a little closer, I looked at the apostles. All the apostles, they're popular now. We love them. We celebrate them. But when they preached the gospel, when they was teaching 1 Corinthians, the letter to the Corinthian church, these fellows were not popular fellows, but they did what God wanted them to do. They were even ordered by the government not to preach in that name. But because they had a commission, because they had an assignment from God, they couldn't keep their mouth shut. And I'm here today to tell you, when God has placed it in your spirit, you can't keep your mouth shut, because it's how God has wired you. It's how God has placed it in your DNA. You may say, I'm not going to say nothing. But as the prophet said, when you try to hold your peace, it becomes like fire shut up in your bone. And that only happens when you are in touch with heaven, in touch with God. What's in you, the Holy Ghost is going to bring it out. And that's what we have to get as the people of God. We've got to fast. We've got to pray. We've got to seek the mind of God. And the more we seek the mind of God, the more we're going to see God move. As I began to look even a little closer, I'm looking a little closer. I'm putting the word under a microscope. When you get in those positions, we say that we want to see the miracles that the apostles had in their day. Those miracles cost them. Those miracles cost them even to the point where they lost their lives. And that's what we don't want miracles just so people can celebrate us and celebrate our ministries and celebrate and putting the crutches and wheelchairs on the wall. We want to be in a place where God can use us. And many times when you are under pressure, that's when the Holy Ghost shows up. Because that's when, as the preacher was praying, it's not by your power nor by your might, but it's by the Spirit of God when God shows up. But you've got to be in a position where the Spirit can show up. Let me go a little farther here. 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4. We're living, as I told you earlier, we're living in a time where people don't want to hear the preached word of God. People want to hear a motivational message. And we're living in a time where, I remember when I was coming up in church, people knew. When people came to a church, they knew they weren't saved a lot of times. But see, the pastors of today have a new challenge. How do you preach to people that are not saved that already think they're saved? How do you get the Holy Ghost when you already think you have the Holy Ghost because of what the television preacher said? How do you convert someone that already feels they're converted? That's a challenge. And that's where we have to lean and to depend on God and preach the word the way God has ordered us to preach it. I used to hear growing up where people would say, you have to eat the meat and throw away the bones. And I agree with that to a degree, but then again, it's dangerous because some of the meat that we eat spiritually from people that are not of God is contaminating people. It contaminates them. I don't know if you all ever watch the movies where people will be going through the desert or the jungle and they're very thirsty. And they're very thirsty, and it's two or three of them, and they see a pool of water, and as they begin to run to the water, they look around the water, and the water is beautiful. It's clear. And as they get to the water, they look around. One person is always looking, but the others are running to fill their bellies with the water. And as the person that's lookout, look, he sees dead animals around the water. And he tells them, don't drink the water because the water is poisonous. And what we have to recognize, a lot of things that we consider to be good preaching is deceitful and cunning preaching. And what it does is get your emotions. And I'm not talking about just the members, but many of the pastors are being pulled in by deceit and craftiness. And what we have to recognize as the leaders of God, we got to be led by the Spirit of God. Because as I told you a little earlier, some of the ones that we're patterning after are not of God. And if they're not of God, then we're patterning after them and we're affecting God's people. If you look in the Word of God in Genesis, Eve, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to give ear to somebody that is not of God, even though it sounds good. It's dangerous because when you give ear, you also give your emotion. As I looked at Eve gave ear to the devil. When he was using the body of the serpent, she gave ear to the devil, and the devil began to tell her that if she eat the fruit, she wouldn't surely die. He always mixes in a little truth. He don't just come out, and I always say that deceit is worse than a straight-up lie because deceitfulness is always laced with a little bit of truth. And that truth is what gets you, but the lie is what leads to your demise. And what we have to understand is when we give ear to things that are not of God, we begin to get emotional attachments to it. And when God says something when God's word speaks against what we've gotten emotional attachments to, then we're not able to let go because we have emotional attachments. I'm even reminded of when God's people married the unbelievers in the Old Testament, and God told them to get rid of those wives. They couldn't get rid of them because they had emotional attachments. And what's happening now is the church world, and I'm not a person that is about denomination, but I'm about what the Word of God, if you believe what the Word of God says in its full context as far as salvation, I'm with you whether you're Baptist, Methodist, or whatever. If you believe in being baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, evident through speaking in tongues, it doesn't matter what your denominational label is. But what happens, the world is moving towards not just one world order, but one world order in religion. And everybody's trying to merge together. But we can't have true fellowship if we are not on the same ship or we don't have the same belief. And what happens is the more you fellowship with people that don't believe the way you believe, it causes you to get, somebody's going to give up what they believe, and normally it's going to be the one that believes what the Word of God says. So we as the people of God have to look even a little closer at Eve. Eve gave ear to the devil, and she began to believe what he was telling her. She began to give ear, and she got emotional attachment. The conversation got deep, and she got to the place to whereas it didn't just affect her, but she had Adam's emotions, and she went back and impacted him by what the enemy had spoken to her. And that's what happens when we listen and we give ear to ministries and teachings of pastors that have not been anointed by God to preach and teach. We go come back and infect those that are in our churches. We come back and infect our ministry because we're hearing and bringing back that false doctrine. So what we have to recognize is that we've got to give an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church expressly and begin to implement that within our lives. Going back to Matthew, let me see, where was I here? Second Timothy 4:2-4. It says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And that was back then, and it's escalated even as we are in today's society. It's escalated. The world, as I told you, is not for transformation. It's only for motivation. And that's the type of word that the world wants to hear. And that type of mindset has moved into the body of Christ. As Paul told Timothy, you got to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. He said, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine of teaching. And when you get to the place where you reprove and rebuke, a lot of times because people are not hearing their television preacher or their internet preacher reprove or rebuke, they think that when theirs do it, that he's not loving or he's not doing the will of God. But what we have to recognize is that whenever a person is being used by God to help perfect you, it's going to take some reproving and some rebuking, as well as motivation to get you where God wants you to be. But as a good soldier, you got to be able to, just as you take good motivation, you got to be able to stand, reprove, or rebuke. And the Bible even tells us that if we're not able to be chastised by God, and sometimes God doesn't do the chastisement himself. Sometimes the word is so strong until it grips you. And if you can take the rebuke of it, if you can take the chastisement through the word of God, then that means that you're a son of God. If not, then you're an illegitimate child of God. So what we have to recognize is that we've got to be able to take what God is giving us through the man of God or the woman of God, or evangelist, or prophet, or teacher. And when we do that, it causes us to be perfected. Whenever the word finds us in a place where we shouldn't be, when you have the heart of God as a saint, you make whatever necessary adjustments. How can you be condemned if a word doesn't condemn you? How can you repent if there's never a word that causes you to see who you are? As you began to look, think about when the prophet Nathan came to David. He came to him with a word. The only way that David was able to see himself, God didn't come down from heaven and tell David what he did, but he used a man to help perfect David, to show David his way, and David was perfected because of what the man of God said. And that's the same way it is now. Sometimes you got to hear a word that's going to condemn, a word that's going to cause you to repent or to turn from the way that you're going, to turn to where God wants you to go. But the way that we are living now, because we've given our ear and our hearts and our minds to people that are not of God, when rebuke comes, we get up and leave and become renegades. We leave and go to another ministry until they say a word that's rebuking us. One of the things people in our time say is, I go to this church because they accepted me the way that I am. And what you have to recognize, you may come as you are, But you got to recognize when you hear the word, you got to begin to make whatever adjustments necessary to become what God wants you to be. And that requirement or that responsibility has been given to the pastors and the teachers and the prophets to teach and to say what God has said and then let God give the increase on that word that is spoken in the people's lives. But we just can't get it done through motivational messages. And the motivational messages will motivate you to get a car, get a better job, get a home. But we got to do as 2 Timothy 2:4 says, the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And we're living with people are turning from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, lies. So people today are easily offended when the truth is spoken. But preachers, pastors, I'm telling you, continue to speak the truth. And sometimes when you speak it, you have to watch how you speak it. But however you have to speak it as God leads you to speak it. As we read, as I was telling you, sometimes people are offended by your tone. They're offended by different people are just offended so many ways today, but we still have to do what God says and then let the Holy Ghost do the rest. As I was telling you a few moments ago, Jesus had some hard sayings, and his sayings offended a lot of people. Even if you look in the scripture, when he first got his disciples, one of the things he told them was, let the dead bury the dead. You know, it sounds poetic as we read, but can you imagine your mama has just died, and then somebody tells you, I'll use it like this. Your pastor telling you, well, don't go to your mama's funeral. I need you to come to the meeting that I'm preaching tonight. Don't let your dead relatives bury them. So that's the way Jesus was. But many times we don't recognize that Jesus had hard sayings. And one of the other things that I looked at when I looked in the scripture, he told them in Matthew 5:30, he said, and if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. So sometimes, and the thing I'm trying to get you to see is sometimes you got to say what people don't want to hear for God to do what he needs to do for them. Jesus did it. The apostles did it. So we have to be bold as the pastors of God to speak what God wants us to say, to not be after the numbers, let that be our motive, not to be after the money, fame, and fortune, and cars, and wealth, and all this. Our main objective is to do what God has called us to do and let God be responsible for the material things. As the scripture says, if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, then everything else will be added unto us. And I'm going to tell you, my testimony is I moved here from Mississippi. I'm an entrepreneur. I have several different business ventures I work. I have an IT business, and I have contracts with Samsung, Toshiba, and several other things that I do. But I didn't have that in Mississippi. I moved from Mississippi to Birmingham with nothing but my skills. I had faith to believe God was going to make a way. And as I got out here, and I'm not a fairy tale preacher, God made a way based on what was invested in me. He opened doors, and I've made more money here than I made in Mississippi. But I'm doing the will of God. I'm out after souls. I've planted, I've watered a lot out here. We don't have a big church, but I'm happy because I'm doing what God has called me to do because I've reached hundreds and possibly thousands since I've been here. And many times I see people that I meet on the street and people come back by the church that I've preached to and they tell how they see a difference in the word that they hear at Greater Works than some of the other churches because I'm doing what God wants me to do. And the thing we have to recognize is that sometimes we can't put a time limit on God. God has his season that he will send the increase, but all we have to do, as the scripture says, is to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And sometimes when we begin to look at how God is prospering and blessing other ministries, it will cause us to change our format. It will cause us to start doing what they're doing so that we can get their type of success. But I'm here today to tell you, Microsoft's success won't work with Google. It won't work with Apple. They didn't do the same thing to get the type of success they had. What you have to do is do what God places in your spirit, because if you don't do what God has placed in your spirit, then you won't have the success that God has ordained for you to have. So I want to encourage the preachers and the teachers, or whatever position you are, God uses you to help perfect the body, do what God has called you to do. And if you do what God has called you to do, then God will be responsible for the rest. But we've got to do what God says to do, to be steadfast and unmovable in what we're doing, because the enemy wants you to move from where you are. If you move from where you are, you'll never see what God has in store for you. You'll always chase elusive dreams, chase elusive visions. God didn't just call churches to be community centers or motivational centers, but churches, or the church has been designed for people to dress in this life for the next life. And the only way they can get dressed or perfected is that we've got to preach the word. We've got to preach it in season. We've got to preach it out of season. We've got to rebuke. We've got to recruit. We've got to encourage. We've got to build them up. But you can only do it if you have seeked and are seeking the mind of God on a daily basis. So, evangelists, I just wanted to leave that with you all on today. I pray that somebody has been blessed and encouraged to, if you've gotten off track trying to be like somebody else, or if you hadn't got directions from God concerning particular things, begin to seek God. He'll open your understanding. He'll open your spirit so that you can begin to see things differently. He'll give you a revelation. He'll begin to show you visions and dreams of what he has for you. But you've got to seek him. You've got to stay in the face of God. It's not about trying to do what T.D. Jakes did or Joel Osteen did. What has God assigned you to do? As I began to close, my mind goes back to Moses. God uses Moses to part the Red Sea with his rod, but with Aaron, all he had to do was step in the water. He used the two men of God, but he used them in different ways. Even when we look at Elijah and Elijah, two men of God, but God used them in different ways. So, and even if we go a little closer to the apostles, Jesus did signs and wonders, but the apostles did signs and wonders that Jesus didn't even do. How many times did we see where Jesus healed somebody with his shadow? Did we see where Jesus allowed somebody to be healed with a handkerchief? So therefore, we got to begin to see how God wants to use us, how God wants to use you. Don't look at how God is using other people. Don't look at the success or what you perceive to be success, because as I said earlier, perceived success is not all the time success. It's just you've had accomplishments. And that's what causes a lot of people in our day and age. We look at what people have and we think that they're successful and we think God has blessed them. But I want to tell you today, the drug dealer has success, but is God with him in selling drugs? God may bless and use that to lead him down the road, but God is not in the sale of drugs. A hitman may be successful at how many people he murdered and have a lot of money, and you're looking at the cars and you're looking at the houses he has and you're looking at his family, but you don't know he's a hitman. And I'm here today to tell you, some of the ministries, some of the preachers you're looking at, they are hit men for the souls of men. The enemy's using them to keep them distracted at where they are so that they won't hear the truth. And we can't preach the truth if we're looking at the styles and the formats that other people have. When you do what God wants you to do, there are some places you're not going to fit in. There are some ministries you'll never get called to because you're doing it the way God wants you to do. But the thing you have to recognize is if souls are being blessed, if God is being lifted up, if you're doing what God wants you to do, if you're doing it the way God wants you to do, then that's when you have success. But it only comes when you do the will of God the way God has ordained for you to do his will. So I pray today that something was said. This is new to me, radio broadcast, but I thank God for the opportunity. This is new. I'm used to call and response talking, but this is new, so maybe I get used to it, but I thank God for the opportunity. So wow. I give service back into your hand, evangelist.
My God, Pastor, you have, Jesus, I am full. You said so many pertinent things, and I tell you, and I know this is new to you, having to minister through the phone lines and what have you, but yes. You know what? God has blessed Dr. Singleton. He calls me in advance, and he puts his earpiece on. Amen.
Okay.
You know, he's animated, so he has to walk the floor. So he just have his earpiece on, his speakerphone, and he's got used to it. And, of course, I am. I'm on this line Monday through Friday. I tell you, it's my God. What a word. What a word. You said so many things that we should really put in our hearts. You know, you say it so much. You know, when we look, sometimes we're looking at, and that's what people want. They want to hear a message to rouse this flesh and our emotions. But do we
right.
want to go any further? Do we want to go any further? Do we want to take the steps necessary that God would get the glory and that He would be pleased with our life? Pastor Dwayne, we're not even telling people about the fullness of salvation. You know, we're telling people to confess
right.
with their heart and confess with their mouth and believe with their heart, and they say, no,
right.
Jesus went a little bit further.
And most of them do that just to increase the numbers.
And you said something about the numbers. Success
yeah.
is not about numbers. It's about how
numbers.
Are you impacting, how are you affecting someone else's life. Man, this was a word. God, glory to God. I tell you, God have used you today, and I don't know if nobody else have received anything. I have. This was a timely message, and God put, you know, some messages and some topics, Pastor Mars, We you know, when God gives it to us, you like, Lord, how I'ma say that? How I'ma deliver that? The Lord say, well, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm
yeah.
saying. This is what I'm speaking. And you know, the Bible say, like priests, like people. If the leader is not subject, then how will you
right.
expect the people to be subject? How do we expect sheep to conform and to be transformed when the shepherd is not really that concerned about the sheep?
Right.
When the shepherd is into his own, his or her own world, and they're using their own intellect, and they're creating their own Bible, they're creating their own prescription, you know, what
my
it
God.
Is to live holy.
Yes.
Folks ain't even telling, people ain't even telling people they need the baptism.
That's right.
No,
that's a byword. Oh, baptism.
They take them into the back room when Paul didn't do this in a corner. He preached it in the middle of downtown.
God. Well, Lord, I thank you. I pray that this won't be your last time. You know, I was sharing with the man of God riding here today that, you know, God is, just look at the tools that God has
right.
given us to preach and to teach this gospel. He's not giving us these tools for our own edification, for us to arouse this flesh. God, that, because one thing the Bible says, Pastor, it says that every man, this gospel is going to be preached to every creature.
Yes, it
Do
is.
You know that? To every
yes.
creature. So some of these tools, the devil is setting them up because guess what? He wants us to be distracted. He wants us to be
right.
deceived. He don't want us to stay focused. So some of these little gadgets is for us to be distracted. Amen. For
right.
us to get off the course that God has set forth. But I thank God for this word. Oh, ye shepherd, hear the word of the Lord. This, my God. We just love you, Pastor Dwayne. We love Lady Mars. We love your family.
Yes.
And we just praise God for you taking out of your busy schedule to come and celebrate what God has done and what God is doing in the lives of those that serve him. He just told
right.
you, the drug dealer is successful, but he don't
yes.
have. He don't have the covering that we have. And oftentimes, Pastor Dwayne, I wonder how the Lord said, you know, God said, I rain on the just as well as the unjust. Amen.
Right.
But God gives us a peace. Amen. He gives us a covering. Amen. That thug might get away for a little while. Oh, glory to God. But God going to reel him on back in. Amen.
Yeah.
So we just bless the Lord for what our ears have heard today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't think we're going to be able to open up the lines. Amen.
Okay.
For anybody. I'm going to try to see if we can access. Can we access that studio again? We can't. Can we?
Yeah.
Let's go back. It should still be open. Let's see. I saw Pastor Gloria on the line. Amen. So we're going to just thank the man of God for coming on and being with us today. We certainly appreciate him. We appreciate the work that God has given him in Birmingham. Amen. And we never know where God is going to lead us, Pastor Dwayne. I tell you, people see the house in its glory now, but they don't see how you have endured some of the hardness. They don't see your family have suffered, how your wife have had to suffer all for the assignment.
You're right. Right.
For the assignment. God has an assignment for you and your family. And many times we're ostracized, we criticize. People don't understand the vision that God has given the shepherd. Amen. And sometimes God gives you a mandate, and he tells you to tell the body, and some may receive it and some may not receive it. But you know what God has given you to do. Amen. If God has given you a vision, amen, God gonna make the provision. Amen. And if he gotta take five out and bring two more in that is loyal, that is faithful, God will do just that.
And we don't understand it.
Sometimes we try to reason with our own minds and say, now, why sister so-and-so and why brother so-and-so, why they left? Well, it was of God for them to leave. Amen. Because guess what? Everybody's not there for the long term. Some people or some saints are seasonal. When their season is up, boom, 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 they're going on. Because you know what?
Yes.
They don't want to conform.
Right.
They don't want to conform. And that's just like the shepherds. Amen. God said, lead the pastors alone. I'm going to get them. Amen. Read in your own time. Go to Ezekiel and read chapter 13. Read Ezekiel chapter 34 and even the verses that Pastor Dwayne Morris has given us today. Oh, ye shepherds, we better hear God. We better hear God. We already in the end time, and we ain't waiting on the end time. We already living it. Hallelujah. So we just thank God for the man of God. I'm going to let Pastor Dion have a comment or a remark. Amen. And I'm going to give it back to Pastor Dwayne and let him close us out with prayer. Amen. I tell you, if there ever was a time, saints of God, that we need to pray, we need to cut some of these services off and say, this is prayer.
Yeah.
We having prayer meetings. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. On Sunday morning. Amen. Sometimes God will tell you, I don't want you to say nothing today. I want worship and praise today. I want the people to fall on their faces. Amen. And call out to me. Some of these folks are on schedules, baby. They're on schedules, and you ain't going to offset their schedule. Okay, they're going.
Right.
Some of them are many ministries. And guess what? They're on time with that.
Mr.
Grant said the other day, you know, they have a gift of oratory. They can speak excellent, man, and they can do this and they can do that. But follow them home. Ah, Jesus. Get in that car with them. Amen, amen. And you'll see it ain't all what you think it is. Amen. So we're going to hear from the man of God and thank Pastor Glory for tuning in with us. We didn't see many on the line today, but nevertheless, we can't open up the lines, but we thank you all for tuning in. Amen.
Amen. Bless you, man of God. Bless you, woman of God.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. There's not much else that needs to be said. You brought forth the word with clarity and with truth, and I glorify God in heaven. You keep preaching. You keep on declaring. It's so many ministries. It's so many pastors, and I thank God for your heart and for the focus of the word of the Lord on today about pastors. It's so many pastors that have kind of lost their way somehow, and I give God praise for the word that have come forth, man of God. There are so many across the nation that need to hear this word that have been spoken on today. We give God glory, and we just thank God for you. We just ask that the Lord
thank
pour
you.
Back into you all of the virtue that the Lord that you have given out for your people, God's people. We just ask in the name of
Jesus
that you continue to be encouraged, that you continue to go in the strength of the Lord, that you continue to not compromise and declare the truth of the Lord wheresoever you go, wherever your foot shall tread. I declare victory and peace and glory in the Holy Ghost, and it is so, and no under the Messiah, and no otherwise. In Jesus' name, we turn it back over to you, man of God, that you might give closing remarks and that you might seal the word of God with the prayer of the Lord. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
Thank
you. Bless your name.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank God for this opportunity. And we pray that we all, not just you, but I also take this word and keep it in remembrance and in my heart, that I may be able to do what God is continuously do what God has called me to do, and we pray for Evangelist Bernard as she continues to endeavor, and even pray that God will even open some financial doors for her to do even greater than do that that is within her heart. We're praying for that. I just dropped in my spirit to pray that God open some financial doors, great financial doors, because there are some visions you have within your heart that it's going to take money, and we're praying that God will spend the money. Jesus' name. Glory. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for blessing and allowing us to be able to be on this line today to spread your word. We thank you, God, for the ears that this word has gone into their spirits. We ask you, God, to allow the Holy Ghost to guard this word, to not let the birds come and get it, not let the sun dry it up, not let the weeds come and choke the word out. But, Father, we ask you this word to be that living word that you said it would be. Allow it, oh, God, to be a blessing when someone is challenged, oh, God, by the enemy. Allow this word to spring forth. We ask you, God, to bind every word that the enemy has assigned to prevent us from being a blessing and perfecting your people. We bind every trap that he set. We bind every strategy that he set into motion. You know, God, to bless Evangelist Bernard. We actually got to open doors for her. Allow her, God, to be able to see some finances, oh, God, to come, unexpected finances. We actually got the vision that she's placing in her spirit. Allow it to come into existence. We ask him, God, to allow her to recognize that, oh, God, anything that you place in our spirit is not without challenge, is not without conflict, but that's only a sign to let us know that God is with us. We ask him, God, just to bless and continue to open doors. Bless everyone on the line, even as we go into this weekend. Allow souls to come through the ministries, oh, God. We ask him, God, just to continue to bless, and we claim it done by faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, amen. We're able. We're going to open up the line for Pastor Glory. God bless you, man of God. We thank you.
Amen.
We're going to open
thank
up the line for Pastor Glory. We just was able to see the switchboard. So God bless you, Evangelist T. I see you. Sister Dawn, I see you. I see you, Brother Clinton. Amen. We're going to open up the line, and then Pastor Glory just have a word. She's hosted this prayer retreat tonight, so we just want to let her have a word. God bless you, Pastor Gloria. Amen, amen. She may be on mute. Amen. Well, we bless the Lord. Thank you. Tune in tomorrow morning. Our minister, our good friend, Minister Billy Burns, hosts our Saturday segment at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Also, join us for early Sunday morning prayer, 30 minutes of prayer with Prophetess Darlene Davis. She opens up for us on Saturday morning, and that's at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, and 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 30 minutes of prayer while you're getting dressed, amen, getting ready to go to the houses of worship. You can tune in and just pray with us, amen. We bless the Lord for each and every one of you all. Thank God for Dr. Chance being with us. You want to greet the people, Dr. Chance, you're welcome to do so.
Oh, we bless the Lord on today. Oh, what God is doing, he's doing things that we cannot believe. God bless you, man of God, that came forth with the word of today. I know that God used you, and I ask that he continue to use you, that the devil knows that he will, that we will make the devil out of a liar. God bless you, man of God. God keep
Thank
you. God bless you.
Amen, amen. That's my little 12-year-old nephew, Pastor DeWayne. He's a prophet. He's a prophet. That boy sing and preach like he 90 years.
I thought that was an older gentleman.
That's a 12-year-old boy here in New Orleans, I tell you. And God, I said, Lord, I pray every day. I said, Lord, if you just sit me here for Chaz, it's all right. Amen. Because guess what? He's anointed to do what he does. Amen.
Yes.
So he has a prayer line. He's on Facebook. I'm going to send you his information and tell Lady Rosalind to tune in. She have heard Dr. Chaz on my line before. So just pray for that young man that God will continue to cover him. Give my love to your wife. We love you and your family.
Sure.
God bless you. We're going to see you. We're going to be in Birmingham real soon, okay?
All right. I'm looking forward to it. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, God bless.
Right.
We love you all. You have a beautiful day in Jesus' name. Amen.
You
just
too.
Click
Thank
it. We're
going
to close
bless.
With God Will Make a Way by Shirley Caesar. God bless you all. We love you.
God will make a way. I know that he will. I've seen it and he will. Oh, God will bring you out. I know that he will. Make a way.
for Jesus' name. We can, in Jesus' name.